Ecclesiastes 5, as we continue our series together. With our hearts prepared to meet our Lord, to hear from Him and His Word. And this morning we're going to do something a little different. In honor of God and His greatness and His Word, it's traditional and it's customary that whenever the national anthem is sung, we stand in honor of our country. Today we're going to stand in honor of God and His Word. So as we read the Word, I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able to, as I read it, as we honor God and His Word, as we prepare our heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning verses 1 through 7. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not to fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake." Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. Here ends the reading of God's word. As a blessing abides upon you, you may be seated. Let us pray. Our Father, we do stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of your glory, of your majesty, of your greatness. And we, your people, have come again this morning to hear from you, to hear your word, to hear you as you speak to us. So open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to hear and receive from you, to see you today, to have an encounter with you through your word and through your truth. And we give glory to your name through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Throughout the book of Ecclesiastes so far, Solomon has repeatedly exposed to us the meaninglessness of life under the sun. We've tried a lot of different keys to try to open this door, to find the secret and the key to a meaningful life, and so far the doors remain locked. We've tried things such as competition and wisdom and stuff and activity, and many others as well. And the door still remains closed. And Solomon, in trying everything under the sun, has found out that it was meaningless, that it was hopeless, and did not bring purpose in life. So he thought he would try his attention something else. And we get to chapter 5, and he turns his attention, instead of looking under the sun for meaning and purpose, he looks above. And he looks to the heavens above, and he tries another key that surely he thought would bring meaning and purpose to life. And so today we try another key, and I'm going to ask this time Charity to read it out loud for me. Can you read that? Religion. Surely the key of religion is the key to a meaningful life, right? Everything else we've tried has failed, but surely religion is the secret. Religion will open the door to a life full of meaning and purpose. So let's try it. I'm very confident. I feel good today. We're going to get in here. I think this is going to work. So put this in. Give the door a pull. And that didn't work either. Boy, I'm starting to get hopeless, starting to give up. If religion doesn't open the door to a meaningful life, what will? We've tried. Religion failed. And religion doesn't work to bring a life of meaning either, because, friends, it's not about religion. Because religion focuses on rituals. But God's about a relationship. And we can get caught up in religious rituals, which Solomon's going to tell us in chapter 5 ends up making us a religious fool. Because rituals without Christ and a heart and relationship lose meaning. So rituals, it's their relationship. Also, religion doesn't work because religion is man-based. It's a system that we make up to try to appease God or try to get to Him instead of focusing on God Himself. Solomon calls that attempt to find meaning through religion foolish. But unfortunately, friends, this kind of thinking has permeated much of the church today. Do you believe that? People thinking that through religion I can find the answer. And I've heard people say, oh, well, so-and-so is a religious person. Maybe you've even said that. But religion doesn't save. And religion doesn't transform us. It's a relationship with Christ that makes a difference. Instead of man's chief aim, which was said in the shorter Westminster Catechism, which says man's chief aim is to glorify God and serve Him forever, contemporary Christianity, much of it today, seems to say that God's chief aim is to glorify man and enjoy Him forever. Case in point. Anybody know who this person is? So you're shaking your head now? This person is Victoria Osteen, married to Joel Osteen. Anybody have heard of Joel Osteen? A megachurch pastor down in Texas. Known all over the country and has a big following. But she stood before her church one Sunday and made this statement. See if you agree with this or you think, what do you think first? She said, when we obey God, we are not doing it for God. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. She went on to say, when you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Does that sound biblical to you? Does that sound like religious foolery to you? When we focus more on ourselves and not about God. But unfortunately, that's where much of contemporary Christianity has gone to, that we come to church for us, not for God. It's what can I get out of it? If we don't like the music here, then I'll go to a church where it has the kind of music I like. Or if the worship is too loud here, I'll go to a church where the worship is the way I like it. But it's what I like. Or if the sermon's too long, or it's not long enough, but we come to church thinking, what can I get for me? And we focus on ourselves. And church has become more about us, about our likes, our desires, and less about God and focusing on Him and coming to hear and to meet with God. Instead of awe and wonder and churches worship and putting the focus on God's glory, churches have turned to gimmicks and entertainment to get consumers and attendance. Have you ever seen it? Heard it? That is not what the Lord wants. That's religion that doesn't bring meaning. Preaching has become less about God's word and more about my own personal story. And religion has become a means to use God for whatever we want from Him rather than an encounter with the Holy God. standing in awe of him and his greatness. And friendship with God has replaced fear of God. If we talk about God as our friend, then yes, he is. But to that point of overdoing that, we have lost the fact that we have to fear him and reverence him for who he is. That's the problem with religion. In chapter 5, Solomon gives us a warning. Because he said, we can get caught up in religious foolery. And he said, guard yourself, because you can go and you can offer the sacrifice of fools and not even realize what you're doing and thinking you're going to church, you're going through the motions and doing what you're supposed to do, because we get caught up in the religious ritual and we don't realize, because our focus isn't on God and our heart isn't where it needs to be. And so he says we need to guard ourselves. Solomon exposes this kind of meaninglessness in religion in these verses. And he gives us two ways that we can keep from becoming religious fools. So let's first look at the first one. And that is to guard against empty worship. How many times has this happened to us? But to guard against empty worship. Worship that doesn't mean anything. Where we go through the motions, but we don't have a connection with God. He said, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Be careful. He says, take heed when you go to the house to worship, because you're going there to meet with God. That's why we come together. And to guard against worship, that means we need to approach him with respect. He says, draw near him and listen. Guard your steps, approaching God with the respect that he is worthy of, realizing that he indeed is the holy God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the creator of the universe and the one who spoke all things into existence. He is the one who is on the throne, who is holy, and his train fills the whole temple, his majesty and his glory. He is not just simply the man upstairs. He is the Lord God Almighty, and he alone is awesome. And he alone is beyond description. And as we come approaching, realizing who it is that we worship, who it is that we sing about, who it is that we gather in his name, he's the one that we come before. And so he says, guard against empty worship, against formality, against just saying things that we don't really mean. Approach him with respect, because our rituals can become meaningless. And that we can end up from week to week, Sunday to Sunday, going through the same thing. We know when we come to church when the greeting time is. We know when we get up and sing. We know when we do this or that. And our rituals at times can become meaningless if our heart is not focused on God. If we don't come with our heart realizing who it is and why we are here. And it becomes just a religious exercise that doesn't mean anything. And our rituals can become meaningless because we don't ever change. We can go on week after week. Now, I confess to you that I hate change. I don't like it. I don't deal with change very well. I don't know about you, but I don't deal with change very well. I don't like it. And Friendly's restaurant had, every time I go there, I find something I like. And every single time I find something I like, the next time I go, they change the menu on me, and they have something different. I don't deal with change too well. And then last Sunday after church, I think it was last Sunday, yeah, it was, we went into Mount Joy for dinner. We went over to the Country Table. I walked into the Country Table, and that was the first I had been there in quite a while, and it was completely different. I mean, everything was completely changed. And I walked in there, I said, what? And I, again, like I said, I don't like this. You know, change makes me uncomfortable. And we don't like the change. We like things to remain the way they are because we're comfortable with that. But, you know, God calls us as believers to be transformed, to be changed, to be, the word is to become a new creation, to be changed from his likeness more and more every day. And he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to continue to grow. But see, our meaning, our rituals can become meaningless when we don't ever change. If we come Sunday and Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you listen to the word of God, and you hear the word of God being preached and taught, and we come to Sunday school, and then we go home, and we don't ever apply it to our life. We go home, it doesn't ever change us. It doesn't, we don't start treating our spouse any different. Our language doesn't change, and we don't start changing our words from what we used to say. And we don't start taking the word of God, and it doesn't change us, then what impact is it having? We're going through a religious exercise, but we're not having a heart change, and it's meaningless, right? And Paul and Solomon says that's religious foolery, because it's not making a difference, and it becomes meaningless in our life. It doesn't matter how many sermons you listen to that I say, or how long, or how many years. If it doesn't change our heart, it doesn't change our life, what good is it? It becomes a meaningless exercise to us. And so, when God speaks, we need to listen. Let his word change us into who he wants us to be. We don't ever change, sometimes they're meaningless, and also, we can get into a rut. That we can go through the motions, and we can sing the hymns, but not really mean them. We can sing the words, and we know the words of the hymns, and we go through them, and sometimes we sing the hymn, and we're thinking about, especially the end of the service, boy, two more verses left, and then we're done. Did you ever do that? I confess I used to do that, and especially when I was a kid. I got two more verses, and then that's it, it's over, and then lunchtime, you know? And we go through the rut, and we go through the motions, but our heart's not really in it. And if our heart's not really in it, it becomes a meaningless exercise to us. And there's no change or difference. And Solomon said, that can happen. We can sing the songs. We can drop the offering in the plate when it comes around. We can try as hard as we can to stay awake during the sermon. And we can even take notes if we want. But if our heart's not in it, it becomes a meaningless exercise to us. It becomes something we're going through, but it has no meaning or purpose. And so Solomon says we need to guard against empty worship. We need to guard against that kind of thing, that when we come to the house of the Lord, we come engaged in him. We come focusing on him and giving him the respect that he is worthy of. And approach him with respect. Because, and also, not only can our rituals become meaningless, but our responses can become manipulative. You say, but Dan, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is sometimes we can get the idea when we come before God that he owes me something because I came to worship today. Or I drop the money in the plate, and if I do this for God, he'll do this for me. And sometimes people get the idea that if they start going to church, then God might start doing all these good things for them. You know, and if I keep my end of the bargain, then God will do this for me. And it doesn't work that way. That's being manipulative. And it's not having the right type of attitude. He said it's offering, Solomon said it's offering the sacrifice of fools, and we don't realize what we're doing. It's a religious exercise without any meaning. Because we're not approaching God with the respect that he is worthy of as our awesome God and as the majestic and the Lord and Master. Guard against empty worship by approaching him with respect. We also guard against empty worship by drawing near to listen. He says in verse 1, he says, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Solomon says, when we come to worship God, we come for the main purpose of hearing Him speak to me and to you personally, not to the person next to you, but to you. And so often, you've heard me say it before, we say, boy, that's exactly, we hear a sermon, we say, that's exactly what my husband needs to hear, or my wife needs to hear. And let them hear it, Dan, because that's exactly what they need. But we think, what about me? You know, we come to hear from God personally, and listening involves two things. It's not passive. Listening isn't a passive exercise where we just sit back and do nothing. Listening is active. And we got to be active and paying attention. It's involved in active exercise, and listening reveals and involves first hearing His word, hearing Him speak to us through His word. And the primary way that God speaks to us today is through His word. That's why in our worship service, preaching is central. Yes, we sing some hymns to God, and we do worship Him through singing and giving and prayer, and that's part of it. But the main way God speaks is through His word, friends. And so we come to hear Him speak to us. And that's what it's all about. And some churches emphasize worship by singing, and that's fine. But it's through His word that He speaks. And we come to hear Him. That's why in our church, the pulpit is in the center, because the emphasis is on the preaching of the word, hearing God speak to us. And what is He saying? What is He saying to you? Solomon says, draw near with your heart open and your ears to listen to Him. Listening involves hearing Him speak. That's the first part. As we read His word at home individually, as we come and His word is proclaimed, and He speaks through the power of His word to our heart, and He knows what we need. He knows the struggles we have in our life, and He brings His word to bear there. But listening also involves the obeying of His word. And we haven't listened to God until we not only heard from Him, but we've obeyed Him. Listening involves both. It involves hearing Him speak, but it also involves following through in action. We often reduce worship to singing, but worship is more than that. It involves all of our life. And you can come to as many worship services as you like. You can even listen to countless sermons. But if you don't obey it and put it into practice in our life, then we haven't worshiped God. We haven't listened to Him, and our life hasn't changed. And Solomon would say, we are offering the sacrifice of fools. It's meaningless, and it doesn't make any difference. The Bible tells us with authority what we ought to do. And for many of us, we don't have to know what to do. God tells us in His word what we are to do. The problem is, instead of submitting ourselves to His word and bringing ourselves into alignment with His word, we take the parts we like, and the parts where He's saying something we don't like, we often ignore, right? We say, I'm not going to listen to that part. I don't want to do that, but I'll do what God's calling me to do that I like. And I'll submit myself to that part of God's word. But when He tells me that I got to love my enemies, when He tells me I got to forgive those that against me seven times over, forget that part, God. I'm not going to do that. Or when He tells me that I need to honor Him through my giving, or whatever it is, if it's uncomfortable for me, I don't have to listen to that part. We haven't listened to God until we heard from Him, but also obey and put it into practice. Because faith without action is what? Dead. It's useless. it means nothing. So religion is meaningless. And in order to become, Solomon says, first mean to guard against empty worship. But second thing he tells us is to watch out for careless words. To watch out for words that are careless and again empty and meaningless, especially when we come to worship. And he's talking about in the context of worship, of making a commitment to God, of making a commitment and a promise to God that we don't intend to keep, that we have no intention of fulfilling, but we make a promise to him anyway. He said, watch out for careless words. In verses 3, 2 through on down to 7, he says, don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. And as a dream comes when there are many cases, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. He says we need to watch out for careless words, and he gives us how to do that. He says, be slow to speak. In other words, when we come before God, don't make a commitment or a rash promise to God we don't intend to keep. But be slow to our speech, and that means to hold our tongue, to hold your tongue, to use restraint, he says in verse 2. Don't be quick with your mouth, and don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. And what that means is, when someone goes through a hard time in their life and they're gone through a crisis time, and I've had this happen many times that I can give you accounts of, where people are gone through a hard time and experience in their life, and they give me a call, and they say, Pastor Dan, pray for me in this time. And they said, I promise I'll come to church. And they might come to church through that part when everything's going bad. And they promise, they said, Lord, if you bring me through this and do this for me, I promise you I'll be in church every single Sunday. And God answers their prayer and he's faithful when he brings them through. And they might come for maybe 1 week or 2 weeks after, but then you know what? They disappear again. And that's what he's saying. He says, don't be quick to speak. Don't be rash and make a quick promise to God without thinking, because if we say it, he expects us to follow through. And he expects us to keep the vows and promises we've made to him. We treat God lightly, too lightly. And he hears every idle word that is spoken, and he calls us into account to it. So he says, be slow to speak. Hold your tongue. It's better not to, he said, it's better not to make a vow than to make one and then you don't follow through with it. Use restraint, but also close our mouth, meaning that God is in heaven and we're on earth, and that he is the one that's worthy of respect. And when we come before him, we just need to be silent in all reverence and just listen before him and let him speak to us. And let him bring us his word. So be slow to speak, but he says be quick to keep your promises. In verse 4 through 7, when you make a vow to God, don't delay in fulfilling it, for he has no pleasure in fools. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. And do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And don't protest to the temple messenger saying my vow was a mistake. God expects us that when we make a commitment or promise to him, that we tell him we're going to do something, we follow through with it. And we keep our promise without hesitate, without reservation. That means that we don't hold back. If we said it, we're going to follow through. But people make promises to God in times of crisis, but then often don't follow through. Marriage is one of those vows that we make, where we bring those vows of commitment before God till death do us part, to honor that vow and that commitment. Doesn't mean it's always easy, does it, those of us that are married? It's not always easy to keep that vow. But it's a commitment that you make before God. And we utter that, we make that commitment to him without reservation. Another example is parents, when they make a commitment when children are born, and they bring them before the Lord and take a vow to dedicate their child to the Lord, to follow after him. And they make a vow to raise them, that child, in the church. and to come to know Christ. But then it seems like as a child grows older, ball games come up and sports things come up, and they happen to be on Sunday. Instead of the parents honoring that commitment and saying, yes, we made a commitment to raise you in the faith, and we're going to honor Christ first and come together as a family, and then you can engage in sports, the parents say, oh, it's okay, and go along. And what about the commitment that was made before God to raise that child to honor Christ first? See, that's an example, just several examples of how we make commitments to God, and we say, let me just let it go. But God says if we make those commitments, he expects us to honor them. He said, don't utter it if we don't mean it, because it becomes a meaningless religious exercise and a sacrifice of fools. Keep it without reservation and also without delay. He says, when you make a promise to God, don't delay in fulfilling it, but do what you said and follow through and honor your commitment that you've made to him. And without excuse, he says, don't protest in verse 6. Don't let your mouth lead you into sin. And don't protest to the messenger and saying, well, my vow was a mistake. In other words, well, I made that, but I didn't really mean it. Or God, you understand, this certain thing came up and the situation's different now from when I made that commitment to you, and my situation's changed now. And so, Lord, you don't expect me to follow through in that. And we try to make excuses, don't we? And try to wiggle our way out of it. And Solomon says, don't do that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, Jesus says. Then we make a commitment, especially to God, that we follow through with it and we honor him for who he is. Religion doesn't open the door because it can become meaningless without a relationship. The rituals can replace the relationship of Christ. And we can go through the exercise, and as Solomon says, bring a sacrifice of fools and not realize what we're doing. Don't be a religious fool. Don't go through the meaningless practice. But guard against empty worship and watch out for careless words. That when you make a commitment before God, follow through with what you tell him, because he does and holds us accountable for it. And come before him with the respect and majesty that he is worthy of, for indeed, he is our holy God. Let us pray. Father, we worship you for your greatness, for your holiness, for your majesty. Father, I ask that you would forgive us for the times that we come before you and come to worship with our hearts not fully engaged in you. Many times we're thinking about what we're going to do afterwards. We're thinking about problems and concerns we have. We're thinking about what we're going to have for dinner. We're thinking about a lot of other things, but we're not thinking about you. And then we leave worship and we say, I didn't get anything out of it. It didn't mean anything to me today. And it's because we didn't have our heart engaged on you. We didn't draw near you to listen. We came out of routine because we think that's what we're supposed to do. Forgive us for the times that we listened to countless sermons and sung songs and put things in the offering in the plate, but we were going through the routine, we were going through the ritual, but not really focusing our heart on you. And we go through the meaningless exercise, and we go through the routine, but we haven't really worshiped you. Forgive us for those times and for those attitudes that we've had. Forgive us for the times, Lord, that we've made commitments and vows and promises to you, and then we broke them and we didn't follow through. And Lord, you hold us accountable for every word that we speak. Forgive us, Lord, for offering the sacrifice of fools and not realizing, as Solomon said, what we're even doing. But in your word, Lord, this morning you've made it clear that when we come before you, we need to guard our heart, to come before you in the proper frame of mind, to come before you to hear from you
and not only hearing and instructing your word, but to listen and to put it into practice and obey what you teach us and what you say to us, that our life may be changed and we become the men and women of God you want us to be. So thank you, Lord, for your grace that's always there, for continuing to call us to yourself, and that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. We give you the praise, glory, and honor that you alone are deserving of. For worship is all about you. It's not about us. Also, forgive us for the times that we come thinking, Lord, what we can get out of it. It's not what we can get out of it. It's to bring the glory to you. So may you be the focus and the praise and the honor of our life and all that we do. In Jesus' name, to whom we pray. Amen.